Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass, along with Lee Cantor, our producer in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is June the 29th, the weekend of the 4th of July celebration. Good morning, Lee. How are you doing?
I am doing great. What, you got big plans this weekend?
Well, as we were discussing, simply going to the local fireworks is all we're doing.
Nothing like illegal fireworks to celebrate the independence of this country.
Yeah, and as I put out here on the air, obviously I'm taking my son up to Tennessee to get those illegal fireworks.
So we'll engage in an underage person as well.
That's right. Joining us today in Dallas, Texas is Kevin Ritz and Brad Culp. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you all?
Great. How are you, Sam?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. And I'm here, but my voice isn't. So I'm going to let Kevin carry this interview this morning.
Yeah, we know that you're a little under the weather.
Yeah, I'll talk for Brad. He's recovering. But, joining me in Dallas today, I have
Fred Bedina with Armor Wealth Management. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
I appreciate you taking the time today to come and chat with us a little bit. Let's start out by having you just kind of give us some background about yourself, where you're from, where you went to school, and how you got to where you are today.
It's amazing where I got here today. I was born in Toledo, Ohio, and I started my career in retailing with Macy's, and I was a buyer trainee and went to New York and became a buyer back to Toledo, Ohio, and bought for six stores. And then a manufacturer came along and swept me off my feet to go on the road selling, being a manufacturer's rep in a territory up in Michigan. And the company got bought out by Gillette Safety Razor Company, and I got tired of traveling on the road, and I was really looking for something else and wasn't sure. And my best friend introduced me to this one fella, and he kind of told me what they were doing in the financial services business. And about the same time, I had an insurance fella that I bought some insurance from, and he was after me to maybe look at the business. And I wasn't interested at all, and I kept denying them, and they kept after me. And so finally, I guess the good Lord put me in this job for a reason. So I've been here 38 years. Later, here I am. And loving every minute of it. I'm still working. And people said, are you retiring? And I say, retire to what? I love what I do every day.
Mm. How did you get to Texas from Toledo, Ohio, or Michigan, I guess?
Well, actually, a company when we got bought out by Gillette Safety Razor Company, another guy came along and offered me a territory in Dallas as a manufacturer's rep, only for a two-year contract. So it was really right after that two-year contract, and I traveled about four states down here by car.
Yikes.
And so that was it for me. So then the financial services business introduced itself to me, and I didn't fall in love with it at first. It's been a struggle, you know, for the first 4, 5, 10 years in any business. It's a struggle, but anyway, but it's wonderful to help folks, and so for some reason I'm here, and I'm here because the good Lord put me here to do what I'm doing. That's the way I feel.
Well, that's great. Can you kind of give us an idea of what kind of services you specialize in at Armor?
I specialize at this stage of my career, specialize really in helping seniors, primarily pre-retirement, post-retirement, in areas of long-term care planning, life insurance planning, Medicare planning, pre-retirement planning from the standpoint that how are they going to receive an income from the money they accumulated, to have a sleep factor and have some guarantees that they won't run out of money. So that age group is my specialty today.
Sounds like there are a lot of products and services that seniors can use.
Yeah, they're solutions.
Okay.
I mean, that's all they really are, is just solutions. They happen to be a product, but it's a solution. And you got to identify a problem first, and you got to really realize there is a potential problem before you can find a solution. So, so if the person thinks they might have a problem, then we I think, for the most part, have a solution to that.
Okay. One of the things that, we run into quite a bit is, you know, especially in our business where we're providing long-term care for people in their homes, is how do you pay for those services? What are some of the solutions that seniors can turn to help kind of plan for that next step in their lives when they're going to need some of that care?
Well, somebody's got to pay for it. Okay, that's you've got to remember that, number one. So it's either going to be with your money, that's one choice, or you can buy a traditional long-term care policy to cover all or a portion of the cost, and you'll have a premium to pay. If that's something affordable, that's something to consider. And then there's a third vehicle, and I like to call it a hybrid, that combines a long-term care, a death benefit, and a savings vehicle all in one for the people that perhaps might have identified a source of money, maybe a CD that they have that they would utilize in the event of long-term care. And if they would consider shifting that $100,000 CD to this vehicle, that vehicle is 100% guaranteed by the insurance company in question and the state of Texas, and it's totally creditor-proof, and the money that you transfer into that vehicle will always be there, and it's 100% guaranteed. Any day that you want your money back, for whatever reason, you get it, and that's in the contract. So that vehicle is ideal for the folks that might have a pot of money sitting aside that they would use for that vehicle, and this leverages their money into a higher benefit if they need long-term care, or if they pass away, then their heirs will get a higher benefit than the money that they put in.
Wow. Is this fairly new?
It's relatively new.
Okay.
Yeah, there's only several companies in the country that have developed this product, but the first one primarily dealt with teachers across the country. And they were very wary, and I don't want to mention names of companies at this point, but you know, they were one of the biggest teacher companies in the country. So they're with a large financial conglomerate of financial services and insurance companies, all in one big company that does that. And you'd recognize the names if I told you.
Okay. So some of the traditional long-term care policies where you pay a premium and then you eventually file a claim and continue collecting – if you were to meet with somebody about that, what kind of time frame, when do you recommend somebody start looking into that as a solution?
Well, generally, it's a mental thing. You know, you should get it as soon as you can while you're the healthiest, but people can't really grasp onto it mentally until they really start getting in, maybe in their late 50s, 60s, 70s, right in there. It's difficult for a young person to even think that because they're so bulletproof, you know what I mean? It's just something that they can't even imagine because it's so long into the future. Is it a good thing for them to do? Yeah. But is it maybe a waste of money? Maybe, because they bought it too young. But the main things to think about for someone is, you know, you got to look at, if you did any studying on long-term care, what the cost is in your community. You know, the average might be $150 a day, so you might consider, you know, purchasing a $150 a day contract. But it better have, number one, an inflationary rider on that contract, so that $150 a day will go up when you need it by the cost of living. Otherwise, you could be in real trouble financially, because we got to make that, because everything is getting more expensive in the future. The second thing is, we found out in the industry that lifetime benefits aren't necessarily the most cost-effective thing to purchase because they're too expensive. When the average care in a long-term care facility is 2.5 to 3 years, why buy a lifetime contract and pay 2 or 3 times the premium? So we're recommending at least primarily get a 5-year benefit contract, and for the most part, 95% of the cases, it's going to be adequate. Because if you're not out in 5 years from a long-term care facility, you're either going to get well and go home, or you're not going to be here any longer. I'm just generalizing when I say that. But anyway, people can get a longer benefit if they so choose, but we just find it's not very cost-effective.
Do you have any statistics about, so you say 2.5 to 3 years in a facility, but for those that would want to stay home and take advantage of these benefits, are there any numbers out there about how long people take advantage of these benefits in the home.
Probably double.
Double, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if 2.5 to 3 years, so you're still in that 5-6 year benefit.
Right. Generally speaking, that's right. It is. And number one, most people would like to stay home. Anybody that I deal with, if they could just stay home, stay healthy in their home, that's the best thing mentally for these folks. And it's tough to take a loved one out of that home and keep them there as long as you can, because that's where their heart is and their head is and
their memories
and memories and everything. Yeah. Just keep them there as long as you can. So if you've got some way to come and help that person at home, let them stay there longer. That is the number one thing that I see out there. And I don't know anything about your business, but I'm just telling you what I see in my business.
Yeah. I have another quick question. Somebody that is, I mean, let's just pick a number, say 60 years old today, what can they expect in terms of what they're going to need to survive for the rest of their lifetime? You know, and I know it's a tough question because it depends on lifestyle, but, you know, given life expectancies today and the costs of care and general cost of living, what does somebody need? I mean, is there maybe like a percentage of what they made in their career? Or
I think that was answered this morning. I had a breakfast with a dentist client of mine, and that question came up, that exact question. And so he's 59 years old. And so I, what I did is before I got there last night, I went and I found how many dollars it would take for $1 million, how much could he be guaranteed monthly for the rest of his life for $1 million at 59. And that figure was a little over $60,000 a year. Hmm. Okay? So it was about $63,000 a year guaranteed for the rest of his life that he can outlive. And you buy what's called an immediate annuity from a large insurance company, and they guarantee these payments and that you cannot outlive. And if you die before you've had the million paid out, your heirs or your spouse or whoever continues to get those payments. So there's nothing ever lost, but it gives the person a guaranteed sleep factor that they know that the paycheck's coming in every month, they're going to hit their bank account, or it's going to be a paper check, hit the mailbox, and they know that guarantee. Has got nothing to do with what interest rates are doing, has got nothing to do with the stock market's doing. It's guaranteed. So if somebody needs around $5,000 a month in their budget, it's going to take $1 million to do that.
Wow.
That's at age 59.
And honestly, you know, I mean, I suppose if somebody owns their own home, they don't have a house payment, and they don't have a car payment, you know, that is doable.
Yeah,
but
sure.
If you don't own your own home, that $60,000 may not go that far. You may have to change your lifestyle.
I mean,
especially a dentist.
Yeah.
You know, a dentist is probably used to playing golf, you know, a couple times a week.
Sure.
And living in a nice house and driving nice cars.
And didn't accumulate as much as he should have, like most people. They're no different than anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we're all sinful in that arena. So it's a difficult thing to accumulate money and not touch it along the way. What we need is more hand slapping for places that we put money, and we need our hand slap like penalties for taking the money. Mm-hmm. Because if it's available, we take
it. Yeah.
And it has proven out not very good for the American public for retirement.
So Kevin's probably acutely aware of this. And by the way, I should interject celebrate the fact that Kevin is now a certified senior advisor. He took a test yesterday and he passed it. Congratulations, Kevin.
Thank you.
I think in that class, because I took it as well, but one of the statistics I think I remember was that the recommendation is that somebody needs to prepare to have 70 to 80% of their former income available on an annual basis through their retirement in order to maintain the same standard of living. When you think about that, that's a lot of money.
Well, it is a lot of money, but you know, sometimes 70% doesn't get it, and I'll tell you why. Because if you think about it, when do you spend the most money? On Saturdays and Sundays or during the week?
Well, on the weekend, right? Because you're not
working.
Guess
what? Retirement is all weekends. Okay? It's not cheap to retire. So, you know, you've got only a three-legged stool we're talking about here. You've got your government program, which is Social Security. You've got your employer plan, if any. Then the rest is up to you. Mm. So, you're the biggest guy in the game here.
Yeah.
Not the government or your employer. You need to get your act together personally. And if you want to have a more financially rewarding future, you've got to take a handle on it. Everyone's got to take a hand. And they've got to have the money taken away from them automatically out of their paycheck or personal bank account, because all of us are weak. We have, you know, we all are weak, mm-hmm. included. I have to have my money, my savings taken out of my check, exactly the same that I recommend for everybody else. Because in order for us to walk down to some facility and put in $1,000 a month or $100 a month or whatever it might be, religiously, and don't stop, we're not going to do it.
You make an interesting point, too, and that is that I think there's a good chance that many people spend more money immediately after retirement than they've ever spent in their life.
No question.
Because they might go cruising, they, you know, traveling.
No question.
They might, you know, invest in hobbies.
No question. And then they realize how expensive it is to be in retirement. You know, it's amazing what happens. Their eyes finally light up. So it takes a lot of dough.
Are there planning tools or resources that you could point our listeners to where they could, you know, start doing some of their own research? Obviously, they need, you know, everybody needs the advice of a professional before they, you know, they commit to a plan, but is there anything that stands out to you as a good resource?
I would probably say there's a resource with a college, the Financial Planning College, called the American College in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. And the American College they are the Financial Planning College for the CLU program, for the Chartered Financial Consultant program, for a multitude of estate planning degrees, etc. And that, the American College website, would be a great resource for folks to go to. But anyway.
Kind of continuing along the lines that we were just talking about with planning and making sure that you're setting yourself up down the road, do you have any stories that are rewarding kind of to yourself as you've helped people kind of navigate those waters?
Yeah, I got a couple stories. My first story, though, real quick, my first customer was my barber. And so I wrote a life insurance policy on Jimmy, and he was starting to get blackouts. And this company, nobody would take him, but I found this Fidelity, well, never mind about the company, found this company that was having a special program. And so they looked at him and said, well, we'll charge him a little more, but we'll take him. So we wrote this policy, and then at the same time they said, we decided that anybody wants to double their coverage, we'll take them without a question. So I told Jimmy to double his coverage, and he did, and he adopted a little boy that him and his wife got. His wife was a little beauty operator. Anyway, 1 year to the day, on the child's first birthday, Jimmy was driving home in his pickup truck and had a blackout and died on his son's first birthday.
Wow.
The two little policies that I sold him provided them for them to pay off their little mortgage in Farmers Branch and give her some money to keep on going because of Jimmy wasn't there any longer. And still today, 35 years later, because of what we did back then, she has had a happy life and she hadn't had to go down in depression like a lot of folks I know. The second story is, which is really kind of really meaningful from an investment and insurance standpoint, but this fella who is an architect, he approached me at a meeting and he said, you know, I got a wife and a daughter, and, you know, someday if something ever happened to me, I need to have them protected. And I said, well, okay. And he says, I want as much insurance as I can, and I got $200 a month. Okay. So we wrote $1 million policy on Jimmy for $200 a month. But Jimmy never kept him in force very long because he was kind of a maverick architect, and he never had money in the bank account, so he kept, you know, lapsing the policy, and we'd have to get him reinstated, and then they wouldn't take him any longer. We had to write it with another company, and on and on and on. And we must have changed 3 or 4 times. And at 40 years old, Jimmy didn't get up one Monday morning, and he died. And I never met his wife, and I knew that he had a daughter who they'd homeschooled. And I didn't know that his wife also was not a citizen, and she didn't really have any education or anything. So at the funeral, and she didn't know anything about this, but at the funeral, I asked her to come to my office afterwards. I had some things I wanted to talk to her about. And so anyway, she came to the office, and I spelled out a program that Jimmy and I had talked about, what would happen in the event of something that would happen to him. So still today, and this is 12 years later today, we still pay her a monthly paycheck, and we bought her a house, and this is the first house they ever owned, and we bought her a new car, which is the first car she ever owned, and her child was able to go to a school. And we put the money in investment vehicles that would guarantee all of this to happen without any kind of a loss or anything to her. And so it's kind of a rewarding thing to see your work come into play with those kind of things. And anyway, so it's a good thing.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, and you know, you've touched on it, and I just imagine that what you do is just an incredibly rewarding profession, and you know, the stories that you've told just kind of highlight that.
Well, it's Gandhi said, if you want to make a life for yourself, lose yourself in the service to others.
Yeah.
And so I'm a servant. That's all I am. If you want a salesman, that's not me. Don't look at me as that, because I'm not. I just serve people. And so if somebody needs some help or somebody needs some advice, you're more than welcome to call me, write me, email me, whatever. There's no cost, there's no charge, there's no fees. That's distasteful. If you want to sit down, there's no charge, there's no fees. Don't bring your checkbook. Nobody's going to ask you for any money. That's just the way I operate.
Excellent. If you had a tip or a piece of advice to pass along to seniors or their adult children, what would you tell them?
As I said before, the first thing that I would hopefully that they can realize is somehow, some way to keep their parents in their home, safe in their home, and healthy in their home for as long as they can. That is the first and best piece of advice that I can give. You know, it's the most important. You know, after that, then it's kind of financial decisions of different kinds, but that's the key. If there's one key, that's it.
Excellent. Fred, I really appreciate you taking the time this morning, and we will send it back to Sam and Lee in Atlanta. Hold on one second, guys. I forgot to get Fred to give our listeners his contact information.
Well, you can look up on our website at armorwealthmanagement.com or fredbadina.com. That's Fred, BADYNA.com. Or you're more than welcome to call our offices in Dallas at 972-980-9600. And I'm Fred Bedina once again, and open to serve.
All right. Now we'll send it back to you guys.
Thanks, Kevin. I certainly appreciate that. Fred, good information. Thanks for being our guest today.
You're more than welcome, sir.
Well, that's it for today. We want to remind our listeners that if they want to tune in again and listen to a rebroadcast, they can do so at ugeriaradio.com. We certainly thank Fred for being with us. And as always, we want to close in stating that if the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.